The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Baal Eisachot. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. And Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber al Aaron v'amata lehev. Elov. Speak to Aaron v'amata elov, and you should say to him, Baal Eisachot es haneres, el mul pnei hamanera, i'iru shivas haneres. That when you light up the candles, they should turn their fire towards the menorah, towards the candelabra, the candlesticks, the seven candles. Vayas Cain, Aaron al mul pnei hamanera, hela neroseho. And so did Aaron do. He lit up the fire where it turned towards the menorah, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. This week's parsha begins with the menorah, the candlesticks. In the Mishkan and in the Mikdash, the sanctuary, we find in the inner chambers, which was the Heichel. It's known as the Heichel, and it was divided into two chambers, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was known as the Holy and the Holy of Holies. We find that there were four vessels there, four kelim. As you came in to the Heichel, first you were confronted by the Mizbeach, the inner altar. And you were going from east to west. On your right side, which would be the north side, a little further in, was the Shulchan. On the left side, equal with the Shulchan, was the menorah. And then you came to the division between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy and the Holy of Holies. And when you came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was the Oren HaBris, the Oren, which was the Oren HaKodesh, the Ark, which held the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote, the broken tablets, and the second tablets. So these were the four vessels in the Heichel, in the inner part of the Mishkan and the Mikdush of the sanctuary. Our Chazal tell us in the Medrash, in Parshas Truma, and also in Masechta Yuma, and Daf Ein Beis Omid Beis, that three of these, well, the sages expound that the Torah writes three of these vessels had crowns, and that was the Shulchan, the table, and the Mizbeach, the inner altar, and the Oren HaKodesh. And these three crowns were representative of three crowns which were given to Klal Yisrael, to Israel. What were the three crowns? Keser Kohuna, the crown of priesthood, and that was represented by the crown which was on the altar, because the altar represented the Kohanim. It was through this that they brought their sacrifices, their korbanos. Then there was the Shulchan, the crown which was on the Shulchan, on the table. This represented Keser Malchus, a second crown given to Klal Yisrael. Kingship. Israel did not only have Kahanim, but they also had kings. And why did the Shulchan, the table, represent kingship? Because there is the expression Shulchan Malochim, a table for kings. A table manifested the physical wealth and physical power of a person. And this was the king. And then the Oren HaKodesh, which represented the crown of Torah. Because the Oren ain't the Oren Aroin Rak Luchei Sabrish. The Oren had only Torah in it. Thank you. the Mishnah in Masechta Oves. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Dalet or Tesvov. Reb Shimon Aimer, Reb Shimon says, Shleishik Sarim Haim, there are three crowns, Keser Torah, Keser Kohunim, and Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. The Keser Shein Tov, Ola Al Gabehem. And then there's another crown, and that's the crown of a good name, of a good reputation. Ola Al Gabehem. And this goes higher than the other three crowns. Now, what was representative of this crown? The Maral brings in his Pirish that some learn this was the menorah, because, as we mentioned, there were four vessels in the inner parts of the Mikdosh and Mishkan. And he brings also that this is what is stated in the Medrash. In the Medrash Rabban Parshas Nosei, it states, HaMenorah Marames Keser Shem Tov, that the menorah, the candelabra, this represented the crown of a good name. Ki Shem Tov Hu HaMishu Bal Mitzvah. Because a good name, a good reputation, an honorable name, this comes from a person who is a Bal Maisa, a person who has good deeds. Deeds are mitzvahs. And the menorah represents mitzvahs. Because the menorah was light and oil. And states, Kiner mitzvah, v'torah or. The menorah was the neros. It was the candles, the oil candles. And this represents mitzvahs. And this is also, it seems that perhaps Rashi in his Pirish and Ovis also seems to indicate this, because he brings the Pasuk from Geheles, Teif Shei Mishemen Tov, that a good name is better than good oil. So he's equating a good name with good oil. And the menorah represented the oil. The menorah was an oil lamp. And the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, also learns like this in his Pishon Ovis. He learns that this fourth crown, which is mentioned, the crown of a good name, this was represented in the menorah. The Maral himself, just as a matter of information, the Maral himself goes to great length to answer many questions which we could ask of this. And he explains it. But he himself does not learn that the menorah was representative of a Keser Shem Tov, of the crown of a good name. And even though we quoted that in the Medrash, it states as this, he has doubts if this in the Medrash is actually from the actual Medrash. He really thinks it's something that was added later, after the time of the Bali Midrash, after the time of the sages. So he himself doesn't learn that the menorah represented this. But at any rate, either way we'll learn whether the menorah did represent this or not. We have this principle that Klal Yisrael were given three crowns and then a fourth one, as the Mishnah states. Reb Shimon Aimer, Shleishik Sarim Haim, three crowns were given to Yisrael, Keser Torah, Keser Kunev, Keser Malchus, the crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. And then another crown, Keser Shem Tov, Ol Al Gabehem, that the crown of a good name, of a good honor, That is greater than all of them. So this evening, let's spend a little time explaining what this means, especially what it means, the crown of a good name. The Maral explains in this Pirush that a person is made up of three parts: the guf, the physical body; the nefesh, this life that's given to the body; and the seichel, the intellect and the soul. These are the three parts that a person is made up of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Yisrael a kedusha, sanctity, for every part of the person. When it came to the physical man, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yisrael a sanctity by giving them the crown of kohuna, the crown of priesthood. Priesthood is directed towards the physical aspect of man. How do we see this? We see this because kohuna is dependent on birth. How does a person become a kohen, a priest in Israel? If he's born a priest, it has nothing to do with what he does, what he achieves. It has merely to do with birth. He could be a very, very great, wise person. He's not born to a father who's a Kohen. He's not a Kohen. He could be an ordinary person, and he's born to a family of Kohanim. He becomes a Kohen. It's totally belated. It's dependent on birth. Physical birth. And it's entirely through inheritance. And the physical entities, one inherits from his father. And this is why we find that by Kahanim, there's an entire portion in the Torah of Mumin, that if a Kohen has physical imperfections, this disqualifies him from various aspects of kohuna. Physical imperfections, see, the Torah tells us, lists off all types of physical imperfections. If they are serious imperfections, then he's disqualified, because kohuna represents the sanctity and the perfection of the physical, and therefore physical imperfections, mumin, see, is paisel, disqualifies him from kohuna. To this aspect, there was the Mizbeach, the altar. The altar represented the avoda, the service of the Kohanim, with their korbanos, that they took physical animals and sanctified them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the Kedushas HaKohuna, sanctity of the priesthood, and the Kedushas HaGuf, the sanctity of the physical, which was given to the world, and to Klal Yisrael specifically. So this was the crown of Kohuna. From here we learn, not like most people think, that the physical world has no sanctity. Only the spiritual world or higher levels in the world have sanctity. Not true. We see that even the physical plane of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to it a power of sanctity. And this is represented by the Kohanim. They do nothing except be born, physically born, to a physical father. And they have Kedusha, they have sanctity. And they have to conduct themselves in a higher sanctified manner than other Jews. And we have to conduct ourselves towards them in that same manner. So from here we learn that even the physical level of the world
HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified.
Another such source we have for this, is what we've mentioned many times before, as the Gemara says, why was a person created with Ramach Eborim? 248 different organs in the body. Because there are Ramach Mitzvah Essays. There are 248 positive commandments in the Torah. Now, what does the commandments in the Torah, which are Ruchnias, which are spiritual, and they were given to the soul, to the spiritual soul, or to the spiritual mind, what do they have to do with the 248 physical organs of the body? So again, we see this principle, that even the physical level of the world was constructed in accordance to the sanctification of the Torah. That's the first crown. And as you came in to the Heichal, as we mentioned, you were first confronted by the altar. That was first. Why? Because that Kedusha, that sanctity, comes at birth. It's not something that you have to achieve later on. Then, there was the Nefesh. The second part of the person is the Nefesh, which is the life that was given into the physical mundane body. In this life is the motivation that a person is able to move and have emotional responses, that he's not just a daimon, he's just not a mass, a physical matter, like a stone. This is the Nefesh. And this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael the crown of Melochim, Keser Malchus, kingship. Why? Because the king of the physical body is this Nefesh, is this life. This is what motivates the body. This is what controls the body. This is what makes the body move and dominates the body. So this Nefesh is the king of the body. Just as a king is someone who motivates and leads and dominates the nation. The source of the Nefesh, the source of the life that's in the body, is in the heart. The heart, the lave, is the central point of all of the physical energies. And the Chazal tell us that a king also is referred to as the heart of the nation. For example, in Mishlei Chof Beis, it states, Lev Malochim B'yad Hashem. The heart of the king, that's in the hand of Hashem. There are many psukim that tell us that a king represents the heart of the nation. And why is this? Just as the heart of a person rules the person himself, so does the king, who's the heart of the nation, rules the nation. It's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Malachim Perek Gimel, in Halacha Vav, the Rambam tells us that a king who has to keep all of the 613 mitzvahs, like everyone else, but some of those mitzvahs were given only to the king. We have 613 mitzvahs, but not everyone has to keep every mitzvah. Some mitzvahs were only for Kahanim. There are some mitzvahs that were only for a king. For example, everyone's obligated to write a Sefer Torah. A king must have two Sefer Torah. Besides the regular Sefer Torah, he has to have another Sefer Torah. And that Sefer Torah he must always take with him, wherever he goes. Everyone is allowed to marry as many women as he chooses. A king is not allowed to. There's a limit. Everyone is allowed to own as many horses as he wants. A king is liable to not allowed to have too many horses. So forth. The Yabalei Kesem is all. Everyone is allowed to have as much wealth as he wants. King is not allowed to. Why? So the Torah says, "V'le'yosur levole." In order that all of these things should not turn his heart. He'll have too many wives. They'll turn his heart away from where it should be. Too much wealth. Too many horses he'll have. See? He'd get involved in other things and it'll take his heart away. Therefore the Torah said, Lo Yarbe, he shouldn't have too much of these things. Because Leyosel of Ova, in order that his heart should not be turned, like we find that happened to Shlema HaMelech, that Shlema HaMelech wanted to say that my heart will not be turned than it was. And therefore the Torah said that he must have a sefer Torah with him all of the time, in order that his heart shouldn't be turned. So the Rambam asked a good question, why? This is something that should apply to everyone. It should apply to everyone. But these mitzvahs, these special mitzvahs, apply only to a king. So why was the Torah more concerned for the king than for every Jew? See, he writes, Al hasoris liboy hikpiru Torah. Shnem layosel avavay. The Torah was mainly concerned here with the turning away of his heart. Sheliboy hu lev kol kahal Yisrael. Because the heart of a regular person is the heart of an individual. But the heart of the king is the heart of all of Israel. Sheliboy hu lev kol kahal Israel. The heart of the king, that's the heart of all Israel. Lefichoch dovko akosek b'teira yesu b'shara. Therefore the Torah demanded that he cleaves to Torah more than the rest of the nation. Because if an individual's heart is turned away, it doesn't necessarily affect all of Klal Yisrael. If a king's heart is turned away, and his heart is the heart of Klal Yisrael, then the entire nation is turned away. Therefore the Torah gave him more mitzvahs, Shenema kol yimei chayov, and said that he must cleave to Torah every day of his life. So here we see again that principle. The king represented the motivating force of the nation. And the motivating force of any person is the nefesh, that energy of life that was given to him. And the source of this energy of life is his heart. So just as the motivating force of a person is his heart, even more than his mind. Even though the mind is at a greater level, but we see that the heart has a greater force of motivation. We listen to our heart more than our minds. Okay. Many times we should. We should listen to our minds. But the heart is a stronger force. From the heart comes all of the emotions. So just as by a person, the heart motivates and conquers and dominates the person, and this is the nefesh, therefore this represents the king. And by a king also, he is the heart of the nation. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to sanctify this. This power, this tremendous force that's in the human being. This tremendous life energy that he gave to the human being. Without it he would just be a silent matter, massive matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to sanctify it, wanted to give it Kedusha. And therefore he gave to Klal Yisrael the Kedushas HaMalchus, the sanctity of kingship. He gave Israel kings, Shaul, David, and Shlomo. And these weren't just kings, these were Kedushas HaMalchus, sanctity of kingship. which sanctified these energies. And this is represented in the table, which represents physical power. Now we find, by kingship, we find that it's dependent on inheritance and it's not dependent on inheritance. It's dependent on inheritance because in order to become a king in Israel, you must be the son of a king. Only Zera David, only the seed of David can become kings. But it's not dependent on inheritance because you can have many sons of David that will not become kings. So we see it's both. Not like Kohuna, not like Kahanim, that a son of a Kohen is a Kohen. There's no two ways about it. And the reason for this is because since it's still tied up to the physical part of man, so therefore it's still possible inheritance. But since it's not, we're not talking at the lowest plane of the physical level. We're not speaking here of physical matter. It's a higher plane. Therefore, it's not necessarily dependent on inheritance. Therefore, we find both aspects, whether it's Yerusha or not Yerusha, inheritance and not inheritance. Now, as you came in to the Heichal, and first you were confronted by the altar, then further on, to the right side, was the shulchan, was the table which represented kingship. The further you went, the more kodesh, the more sanctified it became, the Beis HaMikdash. So this means that the king is a higher sanctification than that of the kohuna. And the reason for this is because the first level in the world is the physical level. And this was the sanctification of the kohuna. The next level of the world was the level of this life energy that was given to man. And this was the sanctification of the malchus, of the kingship. So it was a higher level. And that's why the shulchan, the table which represented it, was further towards the west. The more west you went in the Beis HaMikdash, the more kodesh it was. And that's why the Gemara in Masechet Horias, Daf Yud Gimel, tells us that Melech Kedem Lekein Godl. You must give honor to the king before the high priest, because he stands at a higher level. Now we come to the third crown. We went further. You came to the Kodesh HaKadosh, to the Holy of Holies, and then there was the Ohel HaKodesh. HaKodesh Baruch Hu gave a third chelek to man, a third part of man. And this was his intellect and his spiritual soul. To sanctify this, he gave Klal Yisrael Torah. This was the sanctification of the soul and of the spirit. Now, since we're dealing here with the soul and the spirit, and not the physical level at all, therefore, there can be no Yerusha, no inheritance. Because basically, a father and a mother of a child are their physical father and mother. The Braisa tells us in Masechet Nida what everyone contributes. There it mentions 10 parts of the person, of the newborn, and everyone contributes something. Actually, it mentions 20 parts. The mother gives 5, the father gives 5 parts, and the mother gives 5 parts, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives 10 parts. Everything that the father and mother give are physical. Anything which is beyond the physical level, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. And therefore, Shleish Shutvim Ba'odem, there are 3 partners when it comes to making a child, to the creation of a child. So what do we see? We see that the father and the mother, they're the physical parents of the child. But not the spiritual parents. The spiritual parent, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, inheritance, which means that there's a link between the child and the father and the mother. So on what plane is inheritance then? It will have to be on the physical level, not on the spiritual level. So that's why when it comes to kahuna, when it comes to priesthood, which is at the physical level, there is inheritance. When it comes to the kingship, which is at a little, it's a higher than a physical level, but it's still also a physical level, so there's a partial inheritance. But when it comes to Torah, see, then there's no inheritance. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim, in Pei Aleph, Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, why do we find B'nei Talmidei Chachomim, Lav Talmidei Chachomim? Why do we find so much that children of Talmidei Chachomim, of the wise of the Torah, are not necessarily Talmidei Chachomim? They're not necessarily the wise. She'ein Yerusha L'Torah, because there's no inheritance to Torah. You inherit from your father and mother physical properties. Torah is the sanctification of the spiritual property. Therefore, there's no inheritance. There's another Gemara that seems to be somewhat contradictory. That the Gemara says that whatever you have in a family, Torah for three generations, then there's a promise that Torah will not cease from that nation. Actually, I think it's brought that Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when he was a young child, when his Rebbe told him that Gemara, he said, I have a proof for it. Because it states that Torah will never be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. And by Klal Yisrael, there was Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. They kept the Torah. So we see that wherever in one family was kept for three generations and they were great Torah scholars and they gave their life to study Torah, it will not be forgotten. So we see that there is an inheritance. So no, there it's different. That's not because of inheritance. It won't come to him for no reason. Priesthood, it'll come to him without doing anything. That's because HaTorah Machzeres Lachsan Yeshua. Torah likes a warm, hospitable place. And where it was welcome for three generations, it tries to come back. So constantly will try to come back. But still, you have to open the door for it. If they won't do anything, you have a nice Erech that always wants to come back, but it doesn't mean that he'll be able to come in. Now, actually, this gives us a very good insight into what the Gemara tells us. That the Rambam brings, the way the Rambam brings it, the Rambam brings kishem, just like one is obligated to honor his father and mother, so is he obligated to honor his rabbi, see, his rebbe. Now, this that you have to honor a Talmud Chacham, this we have several sources for in the Torah. But this that you have to honor, a special honor for the your Rebbe that you learn Torah from, this is not an explicit source in the Torah. So the Rambam learns it from the mitzvah of Kibbur Aveim. He learns it from the mitzvah that you have to honor your father and mother. He says, Kishem, just as one is obligated to honor a father and mother, so is he obligated to honor his Rebbe. And then he says it's a Kal V'Chaimer, it's even more so. Why? Because your father and mother bring you into this world, and your Rebbe brings you into the next world. So what the Rambam is telling us is this principle. Why are you obligated to honor your father and mother? Because they gave something to you. They helped to create you. So from here we learn a principle that anyone who helps to create you, you're obligated to give him honor. So then it's a Kal V'Chaimer, then even more so your Rebbe. Because your father and mother created the physical properties in you. But your Rebbe is creating and fulfilling the spiritual properties in you. This one brings you to this world, but the next one will bring you to the next world, to the spiritual world. So therefore, From here we learn that you're obligated to honor your Rabbi. Now since this is a higher level, because the highest level that was given to man is the spiritual level, and this is the sanctification of the highest level, therefore this was even further in the Beis HaMikdash. This was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, further than the other Kelim, and this represented the crown of Torah. And the Gemara tells us also in Horius that just as a king comes before a Kohen Gadol, a Chochem comes before a king. You are obligated to give honor to a wise person before the king, because this is a higher form of sanctification. And also for this reason we find that anyone in Klal Yisrael can come to the crown of Torah, because the other crowns, which are linked also to physical properties, therefore depends how you're born, if you're born with a physical property or not. Therefore it states that the crown of priesthood was given only to Aaron and his children, because you must be born with the physical properties of priesthood, of Kohuna, Yerusha. The crown of Malchus, of kingship, was given only to David Vizarei, David and his children, because it's also partially dependent on physical properties. So if you're not born with it, you can't have it. But the crown of Torah, Keser Torah, Arez Emunah, Umuchan L'chol Yisrael, then you don't have to have any specific physical properties for it. So therefore it makes no difference who you're born to. You could be born to anyone and still be prone, capable of acquiring the crown of Torah. It is standing and waiting for all Israel. Whoever wants it, let him come and take it. There's one condition. The one condition is he has to want it. If he wants it, he can come and take it. If he doesn't want it, he'll never get it. Even from the simplest families, the Gemara Nedarim tells us that we find Bnei Amaratzim become Talmidei Chacham. Children of ignorant families, people who are not only ignorant in the wisdom of Torah, they're ignorant in the ways of Torah, can become great Talmidei Chachamim, can be acquire the crown of Torah. Or the Gemara tells us, Izaru Bnei Anim, that you should be very careful with the sons of the poor, Shemehem Teitzei Seira, because from them Torah will come from. Because it's on a different level. And on this level, there's no physical inheritance whatsoever. And from here, we can understand one other thing now. The Gemara tells us in Horius, came Gadol HaMoritz, Umamzeh Talmid Chacham, a high priest. The high priest was the Gadol Me'achov, the greatest of all of the priests. What would happen if there was a high priest, but he was an ignorant person? Ignorant in the ways of Torah. How did he become a high priest? He shouldn't have become, but he became. And you had a mamzer, someone who's born from an incestual, an adulterous union. Not someone who's merely born out of wedlock. That's not a mamzer. Someone who's born from an incestual or adulterous union. This is a mamzer. But he goes to yeshiva and he becomes a great Talmud Chacham. So here you have the high priest, the greatest of all of the priests. But he's an amoritz, he's ignorant. And you have a mamzer who's an outcast, a total outcast in Klal Yisrael. But he's a great Talmud Chacham. Who are you obligated to honor first? So the Gemara says, Mamzeh Talmid Chacham, Kedem, Lekeim Gadol HaMoritz. You're obligated, according to the Torah, you're obligated to give honor first to the Mamzer who is the Talmid Chacham, before Lekeim Gadol HaMoritz. And why is that? Maral explains. Because this one has Kiddushas Haguf. This one has sanctification of the body, but not sanctification of the spirit. The other has a physical blemish. See, he was Neileb Bipsul. The Mamzer Talmud Chacham has a physical blemish. This, that he was born from such a union, this is a physical imperfection. But meanwhile, he has come to the ultimate in spiritual sanctification. He's gained the crown of Torah. So therefore, that crown of that spiritual sanctification has uplifted him over the physical imperfections, while the other one has remained merely with physical perfection, but no spiritual perfection. Therefore, Talmud Chacham, Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Kodim comes first. You must honor him before. Kein Godel am Ort. Now, we'll go to another point. There's another Mishnah. The Mishnah also in Perek Dalet. Mishnah Chof Beis. Reb Leza Akof Eimer. Reb Leza Akof said, Akina Vataiva Vakovid, Meitzinus Onda Min Eilam. There are three powers, very, very strong powers in the human being. And if the person doesn't control them, then they will drive him out of the world. They will bring death to him. Akina Vataiva Vakovid. Akina's jealousy, envy. We gave a shit on that not long ago. Lisachmeid. Taiva. Our physical desires. Makoved. And quest for honor. Quest for glory, which does not belong to a person. Will be metzinas odem mina elam. Drive a person out of this world, it will kill him. These three things. This is what Reb Leizer HaKofa tells us. We must take anything that the Tanoim tell us in the Mishnah, we must take very seriously. And this we must take very seriously. Because today we live in a world where you see that people are driving themselves out of the world. And many, many authorities today, medical authorities, and social authorities, are coming to the conclusions that many of our great ailments, be it physical, or be it emotional, or be it mental, are self-inflicted. Self-inflicted, or inflicted by the environments which we live. We live in a world which is akina v'ataiva v'akovet. That we are only interested in what other people have. We are only interested in pursuing our physical desires, and we seek publicity, quest for glory, and so forth. So when he's telling you, Maitzines Odom in Ailem, and drives a person out of the world, this is exactly what he means. The Gemara brings, as many times, Odom Meis Belei Itoy. Person dies before his time. The person can't go around and say all the time, Azeh is Bashet. This is Bashet. He died, this was Bashet. This is the way it was supposed to be. Think about it, it's not like that. Not so. Many, many times on the Meis Belei Itoy, a person dies before his time. See, the power of Bechira, the power of free choice, was given to man. It's a long discussion. We've discussed that at other times. Can't go into it now. Can't say, for example, a person eats what he shouldn't eat, and the doctor says it's going to kill him. He drinks what he shouldn't drink, the doctor says it's going to kill him. He smokes what he shouldn't smoke, and the doctor says it's going to kill him. And on like that. Then he dies, he says, Bashet. This is the way it was supposed to be. This was not the way it was supposed to be. Just like a person can throw himself off of a building also. And the whole act
atmosphere of the world today is one of stress. And more authorities all of the time are relating the worst diseases, physical, mental, emotional, whatever they are in the world today, to stress. Diseases that just 10 years ago, 5 years ago, people, medical authorities would have said nonsense that it should have anything to do with stress. Cancer, tension, and heart failure, and so on and so on. What's the stress coming from? From our kina, our taiva, our covet. You know, when it comes to the stock market, the share market, you cannot weigh the tons of literature that has been written on how to analyze the ups and downs of the market. Everybody has their formulas, and it seems that only works in retrospect. That after the market has crashed, then they can only tell you why it crashed. And after it booms, they can tell you why it booms. But if it will or not, doesn't seem any of these formulas have effect. He said, it's all nonsense. He says, there are only two principles that govern the stock market. Only two principles. And that's greed and fear. These are the only two principles. And he says, if you examine every boom and every crash, you'll see that it's always true. Greed and fear. There's only two principles. We're talking about Akina Vatai Vakovid. But he was trying to say that this is what moves the world. Unfortunately. If you'll analyze wars at the international level, most of the time you'll come to the same conclusions. After you cut through all of the diplomacy and all the politics and everything else, you'll come through to the same principles. Now these three, the Maral writes, and this Mishnah, that these three relate themselves to the same three aspects of the human being that we just mentioned. This physical man. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave sanctity to the Kohanim to bring to Israel a physical perfection, a sanctification at the physical level. If a person will not sanctify the physical level, what will be then? He'll find himself constantly being driven by his taiva, by his physical desire. See, by his physical desires. He'll want to eat constantly. He'll want to drink. Everything that the physical body desires. But if the physical aspect of man is used properly, it's used for what the person needs, and it's used for what's good for the person, and it's used responsibly, and it's used with direction and with control and with discipline and with fulfillment, and it's used l'shem shamayim to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have Kedushas Kohuna, the sanctification of the priesthood, where they can take a physical animal and bring it on the Mizbeach, on the altar, as a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring it to the highest levels. Where the Ramach Evorim, where the 248 organs of the person were created, each one parallel to a mitzvah. So that's where they were used with direction and kedusha. But if the person wants more than he should have, and wants what he shouldn't have, then it'll be the opposite. Not that it'll bring him to sanctity and to life, it'll bring him to death. And we must understand this literally. This is literal. It'll drive him out of the world.
And if you don't believe it, go to Hillbrow, go to Sun City, and you'll see people being driven out of the world physically. With liquor, with drugs, and so on and so on. The second level of the person, which is the force, the nefesh, force of the life of the person, and this is a tremendous force that dominates the person and drives him and motivates him, the life energies Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, Kedushas Malchus, a melech, a king who drives Klal Yisrael and motivates them and dominates them. But he does it l'shem shemayim, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to have a second Sefer Torah that should be with him all the time in order that he should cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what a person's heart must be. He's the heart of the nation, and this force is in everyone's heart. If it's sanctified and if it's directed and motivated properly and disciplined properly and controlled, then I'll bring Kedushas HaMalchus and bring kingship to the person. He won't be able to be a king of Israel if he's not from the seed of David, but from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave kings to Israel, this is a source for him to make himself a king, a king over himself, and bring life to him. If it's not dealt with properly, then all of these emotions that come from the heart will be misdirected. And they will want, they will drive him with a tremendous force. With a tremendous force, they will never let him rest. Never have a minute's rest. They will drive him constantly, emotionally, wanting things which are not his. Hakina, envy, and so on, until they'll drive him right up to the world, they'll drive him out of the world. And then there's Kovod, honor. Now honor is something which is spiritual. See, honor is not physical, it's not emotional. It's very hard to describe what honor is. It's not an emotion. It's difficult to describe what it is because it's spiritual. And we see honor always is related with the wisdom of the Torah. It says, V'hadarta p'nei zokim, that we must give honor to the zokim, to the zeshikon ha-chochma, to the wise. Or it states, Koveit chachomim min cholu, true honor that belongs to the wise of the Torah. Honor belongs to the Torah. Because honor relates in a spiritual realm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to everyone the power of the spirit. And that spirit is the greatest power of man. It's not the greatest motivating power in man, because he's more physical, so he doesn't relate so strongly to it. But it's the greatest power of man, the greatest level of man. And he gave him Torah to perfect it, to sanctify it. If he does not perfect it, if he does not sanctify it, that spirit doesn't lie dormant. That spirit drives. And it drives for honors which does not belong to it. But it needs for sakovit. And actually we find one of the greatest pitfalls of many, many, many potentially successful men are when they were driven to honors, to ambitions which did not belong to them. They would have been very fortunate and successful men had they disciplined and directed themselves properly. But they kept wanting to more and more.
They wanted to be heads of corporations,
presidents of communities,
positions of leaderships that they had no relationship with. In order for honor, and it ruined them, tragically ruined them,
drove them out of the world.
If a person directs this properly, then he'll have Keshet Torah, the crown of Torah. But if not, it'll drive him out of the world. So these are the two aspects you have. Used properly, it becomes a crown. Used improperly, it's metzi'in as a odom min ha'ir.
Now, we come to what the Mishnah tells us, v'kes ha'shem teiv el al gabein.
The crown of a good name, that's greater than all of them. Now, what does that mean?
In the Medrash, Omer of Shimon ben Yochai, Chovib Shem Tev Me'oren Habris. Me'oren Habris.
A good name, an honorable name,
a good reputation is better than even the Oren HaBris, the Oren HaKodesh, which carried the Sefer Torah.
Sha'arein HaBris leholach lifneihem rak l'shleish shomim.
The Oren which carried the Sefer Torah used to walk in front of Klal Yisrael 3 days before, 3 days journey. It preceded Klal Yisrael.
V'shem teiv, eilem yisefer, eilem atsefer.
But a good reputation that goes from one end of the world to the other.
Shnema, as it states, Vayetze Shem David, Vayotze Shem David, Bechol Ho'arotzeis, Vashem Nosan Pachte Al Kol Agoyim. The name of King David
went out to the entire world, to all of the lands,
and his fear was cast on all of the nations.
We see a reputation, an honorable name, goes all over.
Well, the Oren HaBris only went 3 days before the camp of Klal Yisrael.
Now, what does this mean? So the Maal explains as follows.
Each of the other crowns relates to one aspect of man.
His physical level, his emotional level,
his intellectual level, relates to one aspect of man.
The Shem Tov,
the crown of a good name, that relates to man himself, to the essence of man,
and to man in his entirety. The Chazal always tell us a klal, a principle,
Hashem meira ala etzem. A name identifies the very being of something. It's a true name. Now we're not speaking necessarily
about a name that you give a child,
because that's a name where you merely came to an agreement
with the other parent, perhaps,
that this is what we would like to call him. So this doesn't mean that it identifies his very being.
So that's not a shem b'chiyuv. So that's not an actual name.
That's just a name that we decided to give him.
But a true name means
the true description of the person. For example,
it states Kodesh Baruch Hu brought all of the animals when he created the world to Adam HaRishon. And Adam, the first man, he gave them all names, called them all names
with wisdom.
He looked at each animal and he looked into him
to see what his very being is, and he says,
You're the Aryeh, you're the lion. You're the Zev, you're the wolf.
You're the dove, you're the bear. And the name
lasted all the time. Because he saw that Aryeh, the word Aryeh,
describes the very being of that
creation. The word Zev or dove describes the very being of that creation.
That would be the same thing
on a name that was given by Akkadosh Baruch Hu.
Hashem Baruch Hu gives a name to someone. He's calling him a name because Hashem Baruch Hu lets him a name, identifies. A name is identification. What does it identify? It identifies the very being of the person. So the crown
of Kiddush of Kahuna.
All right, this describes perhaps
the physical level of man.
The crown of Malchus, this will represent
the life energies of man.
The crown of Torah, this will represent the spirit or the intellect of man.
All represents a facet and relates itself to a facet.
The name of the person represents,
identifies the person himself, the very essence of the person.
Atzmei shelo Adam, he himself. And it doesn't relate itself to any aspect of man. But rather identifies the total man and the very essence of him. Because of that, the Maral says a name
is entirely spiritual,
not physical at all. For example, if you take a name, is it physical? There's nothing physical in the name.
We're talking now a name which is identification.
There's nothing physical in it. It's entirely spiritual.
A reputation. A reputation is entirely spiritual. There's nothing physical in it.
Now sometimes we wonder.
Everything has limitations.
If you take a table, if you take an object, it can only be so big. It has its limitations.
If you take something and you throw it, you can only throw it so far.
The more power behind it, the further it will go. But there's limitations.
Because the physical world has its limitations.
You take a reputation, you see that there's no limitations in it.
Misefei lemat sefei.
A person's reputation can go from one end of the world to the other. It can go midei deris.
It can go, it supersends
time. It supersends place and time.
Take the name of Avraham Avinu. How many years ago did he live? We're still talking about him.
Moshe Rabbeinu. How many years ago did he live? We're still talking about him.
The name of Noach or Adam Arishon. We're still talking about him.
These were people that lived on the other side of the world. The name supersends
all places and all times.
So this is what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai meant. He says, Shem Tov, a good name, is greater than the Oren HaBris. Because the Oren HaBris went 3 days before Klal Yisrael. Why did it go three?
Because Torah is beyond the person, but it still has a place where it links with the person.
It's from a different world, but it has a place where it links with the person.
Therefore, its proper place, it should be 3 days in front of the camp of Yisrael.
But not too far, because it still identifies and links with the person.
But it's a shame to
a good name and reputation that goes from one end of the world to the other. The name of David HaMelech
went to all of the nations, and his fear was cast on all of them.
There's another Mishnah, which the Mishnah states.
This Mishnah is Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin. Hu ela Omer.
He said, so he starts, Marbe Boser, Marbe Riba, Marbe Nechosi, Marbe Daiga, so forth. Marbe Boser, Marbe Riba, if you have too much meat or flesh, you're only going to have more worms.
Barbenuchosi, Barbedaige, if you have too much property, you're only causing more aggravation to yourself, and so forth and so on. Then at the end of the Mishnah, he says, Kona Sheim Tov, Kona Lazmi. A person who has acquired a good reputation, he's acquired this for himself. What does that mean? The Maral says, Kishara Miles Einan La Atzman La Gabri. Anything that a person acquires, it's not he himself completely. For example, a person acquires wealth. All right, he has wealth, but it's not he himself. He acquires, even if he acquires wisdom, even if he acquires Torah, it's not he himself. It's an acquisition that comes to him, but it's not he himself. There is nothing that is as close to a person as a Shem Tov, as a good name, as a good reputation. Why? Because the reputation, the good name, identifies he himself. Everything else is something that comes to him and is a specific title, a specific addition to him. But the Shem Tov identifies he himself. Hashem Meir Ala Etz identifies the essence of the person himself. Therefore, Kono Shem Tov, Kono La Atzme. If you acquire a good name, you're acquiring it for yourself. Now Shlema HaMelech said in Mishlei, excuse me, in Kehel Zayin, Tev Shem Mishem and Tev. A good name is better than the best oil. And the Medrash there brings, because the best oil, it's a limit to how far its scent will go. A name will go all over a good name. The best oil will only help those who are alive. A good name is both by those who are living and those who are dead. The best oil helps the rich, doesn't help the poor. A good name, this is by the rich and the poor. So forth and so forth. And the Midrash goes on and on in this. An oil was used to bring something to a person or to a thing. For example, you took an oil and you used it on a vessel, made it shine. You took an oil and you used it on leather and gave it good texture. See? It brought something to it. You put it on the skin, makes it shine. Oil was also used to be meshkin as a melech v'hakohanim, to anoint the kings and to anoint the priests, because you wanted to give them an additional level of sanctity. So this is what it was used for. So oil was always used to bring a level, some type of level, some type of betterment to the person. But the Shem Tov, the good name, this is the person himself. This is representative of the person himself. And therefore, it's not just an addition to the person, it's the person himself. And since it's nothing physical, there are no boundaries. No boundaries, whether the person is dead or alive, whether he's rich or poor, or whether he's at one end of the world or the other. There is it's built immovable, there is no boundaries to it whatsoever. From here we see how important it is, a good name. Shem Tov El Al Gabeh. From all of the crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael, a fourth crown was given. And that was the Shem Tov. And that goes out greater than all of the other crowns. And this is how careful a person must be about his name, about his personal honor.
The honor of his name. The reputation he has. And we're not speaking about getting a good reputation amongst the Rishoyim, amongst the evil. See, this we're not speaking about. There's a Gemara that tells us
that, I believe it was Ben Azai.
Ben Azai said,
Mutav Shia Sheita
Kol Yomai Bifnei Habriyas
Bifnei HaRishoyim, I forgot exactly the Loshon,
V'lo Yeh Rosho Shoachas Kerem Bifnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's better that I should
look like a fool before people
all of my life than I should be a Rosho, that I should be evil to HaKodesh Baruch Hu.
So we're not talking about that type of shame time where a person
wants to establish a good name and reputation by people through midas hasheker,
through ways of
sheker, through ways of falsehood. This is not a shame tov. We're speaking of a shame tov of a good name in reality.
Where
in reality the person has an honorable name. The person has an upright name.
And therefore, a person must be very careful. The Chazal tell us that the greatest thing that the person can have is a good name. It's therefore the Gemara tells us in in Masechet Shkolim in the Yishalmi, Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, Kishem Shetzorech Odom Lotzei Shidei Shomayim, Kein Tzorech Lotzei Shidei Abriyas. That in order that a person should never tarnish his name, just like he has to look, just like he has to have a good name by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he must also have a good name by people. Now, if it means, in order to have a good name by people, you have to be a Rosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a good name. Through ways of evil. But if a person is doing right, and it's right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says that's still not enough. Whatever he does, he must also try should be that it should be right in the eyes of people too. In order that he won't bring himself to suspicion. For example, if a person is doing something right, but people might come to suspect him, then he has to be careful. Chayev Odom Lotzei Shidei Shemayim, Kein Tzorech Lotzei Shidei Abriyas. That he has to show himself well, not only to Hashem, but to people also, in order that he should not bring himself to suspicion and tarnish his name. And in this, the Gemara brings many psukim, as it states, V'yisem nekiyim e'Hashem Yisrael, that a person must look clean and pure, both by Hashem and by Klal Yisrael. Or, for example, as it states, U'motzo chen v'seichel teiv be'enei elekim bi'odom, that a person should find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch and in the eyes of people. So therefore we were restricted in many, many cases. The Gemara brings that you're not allowed to bring yourself lidei chashad to suspicion. For example, one example of that is the Gemara brings in Bava Basra that someone who collects stoko for the community, he's a fundraiser for the community fund. And let's say that the fund owes him personally some money. A poor man needed money, so he put it out of his own pocket. Now there's money in the fund, so he's going to take it from the fund and put it back into his pocket, which he has every justification to do it. He should not do it publicly. He should do it privately. Why? Someone will see him take it from the stalker and put it in his pocket. They'll suspect he's stealing it. He'll say, what do I have to worry? I know what I'm doing is right. The fact is, I advanced the money. Yeah. V'yisem nikim me Hashem umeotim. What? Me adakim umeotim.
that you must be upright in the eyes of Hashem and by people.
See, by people also. That we never allow to bring ourselves
to Hashad, to suspicion, in order not to tarnish our names.
So this is the what the Mishnah tells us,
that three crowns were given to Klal Yisrael, and then Keser Shein Tov Ola Al Gabeim. The crown of a good name is greater than all three, and according to some of the commentaries, this was represented by the menorah, by the candlestick which we have in our parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.